WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Did you have a good weekend? Yeah, if you're a Spartan fan, I know you had a great weekend, okay? The Spartans on the road at the Horseshoe getting the big dub, the signature dub of the year. Big win over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Of course, we will be chatting about that matchup. What went right for the Spartans? How in the world were they able to pull out that victory with Connor Cook sitting on the sidelines? Unbelievable stuff. We will chat about the big game. We will also be diving into, of course, a bit of Lions on today's show. They have won back-to-back games now for them. I was also in the house at the downtown Capital Area District Library as the Lansing Football League Player of the Year, first ever Player of the Year award ceremony took place. You'll get to hear my coverage from that. We'll have weekend winners for you, as well as on today's show, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as Sparty takes on Eastern Michigan at the Breslin Center. If you want to win these tickets, you have to keep listening, because we're not just going to give these away, okay? You got to earn them, all right? So you'll get a chance to win those, find out how to win them in just a sec. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, November 23rd. After handing Ohio State its first loss of the season, Michigan State moved up three spots to number six this week in the Associated Press and College Football Coaches poll. They sit just two spots out of the playoff, according to the AP and coaches poll, with 1 week left in the regular season. Michigan State senior quarterback Connor Cook is, quote, close to being able to return for Saturday's game against Penn State. MSU coach Mark D'Antonio said that on today's Mike and Mike show on ESPN Radio. Cook said the same after MSU's 17-14 win at Ohio State on Saturday, which puts the number six Spartans in position to win the Big Ten East by beating the Nittany Lions at 3:30 p.m. at Spartan Stadium this weekend. If MSU wins, it will play number three Iowa in the December 5th Big Ten title game out in Indy. Bowamo, Westphalia, and Ithaca have made it to Ford Field. Big ups to the Pirates and the Yellow Jackets. The Pirates topped Detroit Loyola in Fenton on Saturday, while Ithaca topped Traverse City St. Francis. Now, Ithaca will play Clinton for the Division VI state championship Friday at 4:30 p.m. at Ford Field. And in Division VII, the PW Pirates will take on Ishpeming Saturday at 10 a.m. out at Ford Field. Congratulations. Big years for Terry Hesbrook and company. Wow. Unbelievable stuff. And also, of course, Jeremy Miller as well. All right, MSU men's basketball, they will host Eastern Michigan tonight at the Breslin. MSU is coming off a win against Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and Kansas. The Spartans are currently ranked number 13 in both the coaches and AP polls. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. Statistically, MSU has proven to be a strong defensive team. MSU is allowing an average of 58 points, while opponents are shooting just 34% from the field and 25% from three-point range. No opponent has shot better than 36% from the field and 30% from behind the arc. Impressive stuff. The MSU hockey team hosted the Michigan Tech Huskies over the weekend. Both games of the series ended in ties, with Tech winning the first game in OT. The second resulted in a tie after two overtime periods were played. The Spartans will host number four North Dakota next weekend, as the teams will meet on Friday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. at Munn Ice Arena. MSU won its second match, second straight match, I should say. The MSU volleyball team, that is, a 3-0 decision over homestanding Rutgers on Saturday in New Jersey. Rachel Mayernick and Alyssa Fitterer each posted double doubles, while Alyssa Garvinlink, she led MSU's attack with 12 kills as the Spartans improved to 16-13, 8-10 in the Big Ten. And afterwards, head coach Kathy George said this, quote, "We're in playoff mode, as we know how important every win is in terms of our NCAA hopes. But more importantly, we had to get ourselves back on track and confident in our abilities after that losing streak. We have two more big ones to come next week, so this was important for us to maintain what we started on Wednesday." The Detroit Lions, they topped the Oakland Raiders yesterday, 18-13. Back-to-back wins for this team for the first time this season. The Lions rushed for 109 yards, their second best of the year. Quarterback Matthew Stafford was hit only 4 times on Sunday. Also, the Raiders have a season-high 3-game losing streak. Matt Prater made 3 field goals on as many attempts in the first half to give Detroit a 9-0 lead in that one. After 12 years of partnership with 97.1, the Lions are changing the station as they partner now with 760 AM. The CBS station said they would be dissolving the partnership due to not wanting to censor what they say about the team. The new partnership will last 5 years. We'll have more on that one later on the hour. And last but not least, the Golden State Warriors. They tied the best start in NBA history last night with a win over the Denver Nuggets. They tie the 1948-49 Washington Capitals and the 1993 Houston Rockets, starting the season 15-0. The Warriors are the first defending champions to start 15-0. They break that record. They'll need to beat the Los Angeles Lakers at home on Tuesday at Oracle Arena, a place where they have won 26 consecutive games. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick at headliners. Our phone lines are open. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. Without further ado, here we go.
It's very disappointing. I mean, in the one drive that we had where we kind of had some momentum when we scored after the strip sack, the plays we ran a lot of gap schemes and we were gassing them. And you guys saw that on that drive, and we had a lot of momentum. And honestly, we didn't see those plays at all for the rest of the game. Those plays weren't called anymore. I asked for those plays to be called, and they weren't. And it hurts. It hurts a lot just because of how we lost. I feel like we just weren't putting the right opportunity to win this game. We weren't put in the right situations to win this game. And like, I don't think Michigan State was better than us. They weren't. I don't think Michigan State was better than us. They weren't. Like, I don't think Michigan State was better than us. They weren't. They weren't. But.
And takes command of the Big Ten East behind two backup quarterbacks. and an Ohio native kicker, and a tremendous defense.
Take me through your mindset. You line it up for the game-winning kick. What's going through your mind?
Trust your eyes, trust your leg. I knew I had the distance because I made it once. I just had to swing through, hit an even better ball. It was great. Amazing feeling. I've been waiting my whole life to beat that team in this stadium. My whole
life. Although we are miles apart, if you ever need a helping hand, I'll be there on the double, as fast as I can. And don't you know that there ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough, keep me from getting to you, babe. Don't you know that there ain't no mountain high enough.
What a moment. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And if you're like me, many of you out there still have your jaw on the floor looking at how the Spartans able to go on the road, taking on the defending national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, again in the shoe, without starting quarterback Connor Cook. And then you put in backups Tyler O'Connor, Damian Terry, and Michigan State wins it with zeros on the clock. Michael Geiger for 40-plus yards and the dub. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, my jaw, again, completely on the ground watching that game. You got to give props to what this team has been able to do this year, despite all of the injuries on both sides of the ball. And isn't it quite ironic, right? I mean, just looking at the hype before Saturday, folks, the big question in this game was going to be the health of Connor Cook. And looking at the Vegas line, Michigan State was a 13-point dog, and that was assuming that Michigan State was going to have Connor Cook as the starting quarterback behind center. Can you just imagine what that line would have looked like if Connor Cook and the Michigan State football program would have come out and said that Cook, yeah, there's not a good chance that he'll probably start on Saturday. There's probably not a good chance that he will even play on Saturday. I mean, we could have been talking about maybe like a 21, you know, 20-plus point favorite for Ohio State. And what do they do? It's been the next man up mentality that we've seen this team embrace all season long. And just Sparty's luck, folks. Again, we've seen injuries for this team all year. But then this game, the biggest game of the season, on the road, playing the defending national champs, a team that was ranked in all polls to already be in the college football playoff. And who goes out of that game? Who can't play in that game, the biggest game of all year? And you've had injuries all season. Connor Cook, arguably the most consistent aspect to this team all season. Cook has been lights out, with the exception of a few moments. Cook has been lights out. He goes out, and then in comes Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry, and they hold down the fort on a cold and rainy afternoon in Ohio. And those were really the two factors that no one saw coming. No one saw Connor Cook not playing in this game, and no one saw the weather. Cold, rainy, just poor conditions that led to conservative play calling for the Spartans and Buckeyes. You rarely saw a big play downfield. Heck, you really didn't see that. I think the longest pass play for Ohio State was 16 yards. Braxton Miller only caught the football one time. One time. Ohio State was held to just 132 yards. That is the lowest total yardage in Urban Meyer's career. Are you kidding me? And that's what you heard to start that montage there. That was Ezekiel Elliott, a player who was in Heisman Trophy contention, a player who certainly has put this offense on his back numerous times for the Buckeyes, and who wanted to do that on Saturday, but he felt as though the play calling did not allow him to flourish. And MSU really dominated on both sides of the line. I mean, the MSU defensive line was fantastic. They opened up holes for Gerald Holmes and LJ Scott to run through and pick up big plays, big yardage on crucial downs. Holmes with 65 yards and a touchdown. LJ Scott with 58 yards on the ground. And how about even Tyler O'Connor? When Michigan State needed, you know, that third and short, Tyler O'Connor said, give me the football. I'm going to pick this up for you. Unbelievable stuff from him. And also, you know, even Damian Terry as well. Wow. And Ohio State, looking at how they scored, they only scored on turnovers. And I really thought that this is going to go downhill. After McGarrett Kings muffed that punt reception and Ohio State was able to jump on it, get the ball with great field position, and JT Barrett delivered a nice strike in the end zone to Jalen Marshall for that touchdown. I said, oh, I don't know how MSU is going to recover from that. But what happens? They respond right after that drive with a touchdown of their own. Resiliency. Thy name is Sparta. Impressive stuff, folks. Again, LSU only scored on turnovers. It was that muff punt reception by McGarrett Kings. And then you had the fumble from Damian Terry. So if there was one thing that Michigan State missed in that game in regards to Cook's absence, they certainly missed Cook's ability to sense pressure in the pocket, because we saw multiple times, specifically when it comes to Damian Terry, we saw multiple times Damian Terry just couldn't sense pressure. He was sacked multiple times throughout that game. So hats off to the Spartans. They now control their destiny. They play Penn State this weekend, a game in which they are favored against, a game in which they are expected to win. They play Penn State this weekend, and then with that dub, if they get it, they move on to the December 5th Big Ten Championship game against the Iowa Hawkeyes, a game in which they will be favored in. That's who they are slated to possibly play, Iowa, in that Big Ten Championship game. Michigan State is probably going to win the East this weekend and then play Iowa out in the West, out in Indy. Unbelievable stuff, folks. Unbelievable stuff. MSU, actually, you know, they've been giving the Buckeyes the blues. I mean, Urban Meyer has to be pulling his hair out every time he plays the Spartans, because MSU snapped OSU's school record, if you remember, 24-game winning streak back in 2013 in that Big Ten championship game, which, of course, MSU went on to play in the Rose Bowl, first Rose Bowl since the 80s. And now they snap their 23-game winning streak with that win on Saturday. I tell you, hats off to Coach D and this team, because no one saw this coming. No one saw two backup quarterbacks coming in the game and winning it for Michigan State. Hats off to them. Folks, again, we are taking your calls. We will be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And folks, for our listeners out there, I also want to throw this out because, again, we are giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game, as they take on Eastern Michigan University. Izzo and Company has started off on a pretty nice start, a pretty nice start to the year. They just really gave Arkansas Pine Bluff the business over the weekend. So they will host EMU tonight. And if you want to win these tickets, you know, you got to earn them. We're not just going to give them away, you know, caller number three, boom, you got them. If you want to win these tickets, we're going to give you a trivia question right now. And in this trivia question, I swiped this from the Michigan State and Ohio State college football game on Saturday, because I thought it was very impressive. Kirk Herbstreit just like nailed this, just nailed it. Got both names, and I'm pretty sure he knew both of these names, because he pretty much documents every Ohio State loss, seeing as though that is his alma mater. But, you know, the question is that I'm posing to you guys and what it was. So if you were watching that game and pay attention to that trivia question, you may just nail this question. The question I'm posing out there, and the first caller to call in and get this question right will win these tickets for tonight's game. Here's the question. Who are the only two Michigan State quarterbacks to have multiple wins versus Ohio State? Again, the question. Who are the only two Michigan State quarterbacks to have multiple wins versus Ohio State? Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, you have any idea? Don't answer the question, but do you have any idea? Do you think you got a good guess at that?
I have a decent guess for one of them and a decent idea for the time period of the other.
Okay, gotcha. And I hear our phones off the rails right now. Again, who are the only two MSU QBs to have multiple wins versus Ohio State? That is the question. If you get it right, you could be sitting at the Breslin enjoying Michigan State men's basketball as they take on Eastern Michigan tonight. But again, unbelievable weekend for the Spartans. And they do now control their own destiny. I want to throw out an interesting stat here that I just found to be mind-blowing. Completely mind-blowing. I mentioned how MSU held OSU to 132 yards. That's the lowest in Michigan State's, I should say that's the lowest in Urban Meyer's college tenure as a head coach, which is really, really remarkable. And I saw another stat that just completely just had me like, what, really? That's unbelievable. And that stat is that when looking at Michigan State's wins over Michigan and Ohio State, did you know that Michigan State has not led for 1 second. Not 1 second have they led in regulation throughout both of those wins. Now, of course, because looking at the Michigan game, Michigan State won on that crazy play in which Jalen Watts Jackson returned it with double zeros on the clock. He crossed the pylons after the double zeros were on the clock. And then they do the same thing to Ohio State on Saturday. Double zeros on the clock, the kick sails through. Michael Geiger celebrates. And how great was Michael Geiger's celebration? Huh? How great was that? The 18 windmills and riding the pony at the same time. Fantastic celebration.
Did you take that or Kirk Cousins, Al?
Oh, man.
Or not Kirk Cousins, Drew Stanton's.
Which Kirk Cousins was good, too.
That is.
I'll probably take Stanton's. Probably
me,
Stanton's.
Too. It's hard to beat that one.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that one because he just became like a little boy, you know, when that play happened. Oh, that was fantastic.
He did
fantastic.
Not know he was on camera, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Geiger had more swag out of all of them.
That was premeditated.
Yeah, it was
no
premeditated.
Doubt.
He certainly had that plan. And I mean, you heard the bite of Geiger. I mean, that's always been a dream of his, being from Ohio, to win a game with his foot in that stadium. That's unbelievable stuff. But what a game. Again, folks, phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. I'm going to go with Jody first. Now, Jody from Canada is on the line. He knows the answer to our trivia question, but he does not want the ticket. So, Jody, I don't want you to answer the question. I don't. If you want, tweet me. You can tweet me, but don't answer the question on
he
the air.
He knows it, though. He told me the answers. He does
he
know
does
the
He does know
answers.
It. I don't want him to say it on the air, though, because he doesn't want the ticket. So, but Jody, how you doing, though, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I don't want the tickets. Yes, I know. Like I told my man, I'll brag for myself. Yes, I know the answer, but you know hey.
Right.
Yeah, hey, I won't tell. You know?
Right, keep it hush hush. Keep it on the DL. There we go.
Yeah, big victory Saturday, man. It was I was jumping up and down, and I was able to quiet all my Ohio friends and all my Ohio relatives and family members, and it got quiet on the Facebook page. And you know, Mike Cobb, former Spartan, and myself, we trolled all our Ohio friends, you know. So we were in heaven. Even the grandmamas and grandpapas had to give Spartans their props. So,
right. I dig it though. So, I mean, when looking at that game, though, Jody, I want you to kind of give us an analysis. I mean, when you saw that Connor Cook wasn't going to be the starting quarterback for that game, I mean, what went through your head?
I kind of sat down and thought, oh, man, oh, boy, okay. You know, I wasn't giving up, but I kind of, you know, I went and got something to drink because I thought, oh, boy. But once they started playing and they started pounding Ohio State, see, you know, I knew going into a week. See, we forget games aren't won with the fanciness. Games are won by the dogs up front, offense and defense. And if you pound those boys up front, you know, the running backs and the running backs ran hard. But, you know, if they beat Ohio State off the line, offensive and defensive line, you know, I knew that's where it was going to start because Ohio State really doesn't have a lot of flashy stuff. They're not going to beat you with stuff. They had trouble with Northern Illinois. They had trouble with Western.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They had trouble with Indiana. So, you know, there were a lot of flaws in what they were doing. You know, so I just knew if Michigan State was going to pound them. And the big thing I liked is that D'Antonio has played enough kids. You know, they've had injuries and stuff, but enough kids have not lost their confidence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see, when you're a backup or you something like that, you know, you don't get as much time, but you have to have that confidence that when it's your time to ball, that you just step up. You know, next man up. And it's obvious that you wouldn't hear that coming out of Ohio State, Michigan State's locker room like Ezekiel Elliott did. But you know that was just a total collapse. And you know, Joey, they give Joey Bosa so much credit. He's sitting on the sideline, and Kurt Herbstreit is talking about how he affected the rush. You know, and I'm like, come on, y'all, stop.
And you Joey know, had a lot of penalties too. He was flagged a lot, and those penalties really hurt.
Three offsides. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's what it, you know, when you look at it, I'm true Herbstreit's an Ohio State cat from, you know, down in Columbus. Okay, I understand that, and that's fine. Go ahead and cheer all you want, you know. But, you know, they just pounded Ohio State. And that, you know, I heard people tell me, well, they called a terrible game, they this and that. But, you know, the helmets and them forearms are right in Ohio State's players' chest all day. Bam, bam, bam. They just kept pounding them. And, you know, they pounded them, and, you know, and they broke those rocks. That's all. You know, Ohio State had nothing, man. Y'all stop. I mean, you know, I say that because I heard it all year from my friends, you know, everybody in the family. But, hey, you know, Spartan dogs, baby. They were barking. So, you know, hey. You know, I'd put up my flag up here in Canada and wear my varsity jacket and, you know, wear my 78 hat. You know, buy my old T-shirts, my old jersey from 78.
Jody, you are feeling good, my man. Hey, wear it well. Wear it with pride, man, because, again, this team, you know, they were the epitome of mental toughness on Saturday because, again, in a game like that where it's cold and rainy, where, you know, both sides didn't want to test, you know, JT Barrett's arm or O'Connor's arm, because there was a great chance that bad things could have happened in that game. I mean, it was not the ideal condition to go out and play long ball. And the alternative for both teams was to pound the ball on the ground and see who had the best running game. And like you said, I mean, in the trenches, Michigan State's offensive line and defensive line played outstanding. That offensive line opened up holes for Holmes and Scott to run through, and they took full advantage of it. And I say mental toughness because if you looked at statistically at that game, specifically on the notion of turnovers, Michigan State had two turnovers. Ohio State scored on both of those turnovers. Mm-hmm. In a game like that, the little things matter. And the fact that Michigan State were able to still just come back right after those turnovers and score, that showed a lot of resiliency and a lot of mental toughness from this team. And I want to bring up a moment that I thought, well, probably was when other than the game-winning field goal, it probably was my favorite moment of the game. It's when McGarrett Kings, after he muffed that punt reception, D'Antonio, he didn't show any anger. He didn't go to him and curse the kid out. He didn't ignore the kid when he came to the sidelines. What he did was, and you probably saw this, Jody, he walked up to Kings and he said, hey, it's okay. Mistakes happen. Keep your head up. We're still in this game. And that just speaks volumes to the type of coach that Coach D is.
That's very true. That's one thing I really respect and I've always respected about him is that he seems to have the kids' ears, all the players' ears, and he's had their back and they've responded for him. Last but not least, you know I got to bring it up. What about the fight Saturday night?
Oh,
you ain't
man.
You don't have to answer the question.
Jody, you are my man. That's all I'm saying, brother. Thank you. That's all I'm saying with that one, okay? We'll let our listeners just have question marks on that one, okay?
I'm expecting, when I come to town, I'm expecting some rose petals, you you know, thrown at the, you know, in the air.
Trust me.
When I cross the border and I come in the middle.
You are the reason I was able to watch that fight, and we'll just leave it at that. Thank you so much, Jody. And great call.
Man, have a great weekend.
You too.
Have
you do the same. Weekend. Thank you, dude.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to line two. My man Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing, brother?
Well, my man, I told you guys were going to have to run all over him, and you did.
That's what happened. That you, yeah, that you hit it you right
ran
on
all
the head,
over
right?
Both sides of the ball. I'm going to tell you now, they got a lot better running back than you guys ever had. For that guy to only get eight carries, you know that guy had 250 yards against Alabama and Oregon before they won the national title?
Exactly.
And he does it every game. He only gives the ball to him like 8 or 10 times. It's crazy.
Right.
If they go up to Ann Arbor and they don't play a lot better on both sides of the ball and get Braxton Miller involved and stuff, they're going to get beat by Michigan.
Yeah, they got to rebound. They have to rebound quickly. And, you know, I even saw there's one ESPN writer out there who, when looking at, you know, and evaluating Ezekiel Elliott's comments that were critical of the coaching staff as to why they didn't call more running plays for him, as you heard, and, you know, you heard a snippet of it to start our show. There's one ESPN writer who believes that, you know, Urban should sit out Ezekiel Elliott for those comments.
Well, you know, he shouldn't have said that. He was frustrated. But I'll tell you, it's like a Tyrone Wheatley that was at Michigan. You might stop him 10 or 15 times, but that 16th time, he might go 60, 70, 80 yards.
I'm telling you. Exactly.
You got to keep if they don't – they should go up there. If they go up there with a piss-poor attitude against the bullies, they'll beat them by 2 or 3 touchdowns. If they don't, they're going to get beat again. They're going to have to – adversity will show something with them. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't sleep on Penn State. You guys don't
right.
think you got it won yet, because then you're going to get knocked out or not even make it the playoffs.
And that's the point I emphasized on today's Current State. I was a guest there to recap what took place on Saturday. And that's what I said. Michigan State has to – and, you know, Coach D's going to have these boys ready. He certainly is. He's going to have them mentally ready. They can't take anything for granted now, even when looking at their path – to the college football playoff, just got a bit brighter with that win over Ohio State. They can't overlook a quarterback in Christian Hackenberg, who I think is going to be a good pro. I think Christian Hackenberg is going to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft next year. Overlook him. That defense is going to have to play.
Michigan. He didn't play very good against Michigan, but he could rebound and have a great game. You never know.
Right, exactly.
He's got the talent. They got to put pressure on him like Michigan did. But
yeah.
I tell you, Michigan surprised me. They played I missed the first three quarters because I was out jogging. But it
you're
surprised
always jogging,
me.
Ray, I tell you. I love it, man.
It surprised me the way they beat him up. But I'll tell you,
right.
If the Buckeyes go up with a piss-poor attitude and they let that running back have the ball like they should, they'll beat him by 2 or 3 touchdowns. But they're going to have a mean attitude, because that's going to be hard to go in there for 111,000 people. You know what I mean?
Right,
but
exactly.
You got to shut them up. But that Penn State game, what about Connor Cook? How's he looking?
Right now, he went on D'Antonio went on ESPN's Mike and said that he's again, if in our headliners, I don't want to misquote him. Let me scroll up here. Mark D'Antonio said that Cook is close, quote, close to being able to return for Saturday's game. So we'll see, Ray. We'll see, my man.
Hey, where's the national championship this year? Is it at the Rose Bowl? Or
it's in Arizona. It's in Arizona this year. The stadium, I'm not sure, because they will play in the Orange Bowl in Miami for the semifinals, in the Cotton Bowl out in Texas for the semifinals, and then the championship will be in Arizona.
Okay, the Rose Bowl has got the Pac-10 champ against the Big Ten champ again this year?
Not sure. I have to look that one up for you, Ray.
I just wondering, let's say Michigan State beats Iowa. Iowa would only have one loss. Wouldn't they send Iowa to the Rose Bowl, and Michigan State would be in the maybe the top four for national championship?
They will be, I think. Michigan State, it'll be hard not to put them in the top four, and they'll either play in the Cotton Bowl or the Orange Bowl. As far as Penn State, what bowl they'll play in, I'm not sure, Ray.
Well, I'm just wondering, the Rose Bowl
usually
has the Pac-10 champ against the Big Ten champ, but that would exclude Michigan State if they went to the Final Four, so that would put the runner-up, which would be Iowa, into the Rose Bowl, it seems like to me.
Yeah, possibly. We'll double-check that on you and update you on later on in the show, Ray.
Okay, thanks a lot, my friend.
All right.
God bless you.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Good luck, guys. Beat the bullies.
I knew. I had never failed. I knew Ray was going to end the call that way. Thank you, Ray. All right. First break. When we come back, again, we're giving away tickets. Whoever gets the trivia question correct will be seeing the Michigan State men's basketball team as they host Eastern Michigan tonight, who are the only two MSU QBs to have multiple wins versus Ohio State. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't touch that dial. Don't you do it. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back. Man, folks, can you believe that we are, what, 3 days away from Thanksgiving? Oh! I can just taste my grandmother's sweet potato pie right now. Oh, my goodness. The dressing, gravy, collard greens. Oh! Let me contain myself right now. I've been pretty good with going to the gym the past few weeks, but that all goes out the window this week. Happy holidays, folks. Happy holidays. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, folks, we are taking your calls if you want to talk about the Michigan State win over Ohio State this past weekend. Call in 517-355-9527. We are also, again, giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game versus Eastern Michigan. Again, we're not just giving them away. You got to earn them. And the trivia question we are asking you guys today is, who are the only two Michigan State QBs, quarterbacks to have multiple wins versus Ohio State? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, whoever calls in. And wants the tickets, if you want the tickets, call in. You got to answer that. If you don't want them, call in. Don't answer the question, though. I don't want any gimmies. I don't want to blow this question on anybody, all right? So, all right, now let's go to line three. We've got my man Mike from Saginaw on the line. Mike, how you doing, my man?
How you doing there, man?
I'm good.
Before we talk about the college game, I want to talk to you about the high school. I know Waterford are ladies in Orchard Lake St. Mary's in the state finals, but I was want to know, what is the score? Why the Catholic schools in up by Wayne County and Oakland County, those schools, those public schools in there, do they recruit a lot of those kids? Not recruit them, but get more of those kids from those areas than the public schools? Is the football pretty good in Wayne County and North and Western Oakland County, where the Catholic school is located, or the quality of the play ain't that good?
Mike, I'm an honest man, and I have no idea. I could not tell you anything about that area. Again, we just cover our Mid-Michigan teams and keep it moving. I have no idea about that area.
All right, then. I'm going to keep it moving then. Okay.
I couldn't tell you, brother. If I could, I'd be a high school football guru. I'd tell you that right now. But all we know is our local teams. Isaac, you have any input there? I don't know.
No, I'm a little bit lost there, too. We're cutting up Mike Valeni right now, so. Didn't even hear the full question, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. Go ahead, though, Mike.
All right, man. I was going to tell you, since Michigan State, have you seen Iowa play at all on TV?
Yes.
Have you seen any?
Yes, I have seen Iowa play on TV.
Do they run the same offense Michigan State does, or are they more? Because I haven't seen them play.
Yeah, well,
I've been watching Michigan.
I do believe they play. They run a pro-style offense. I'm always a firm believer. As far as their offense and respective teams and what they do in their scheme, it varies depending on the personnel you have. Michigan State, think about their offensive scheme. They do a great job of enacting balance to their offense for the most part. There have been times where that running attack hasn't been there, and it's forced the hand of Connor Cook to be able to find receivers down the field. But as far as Iowa's attack, it is a pro-style offense. But, again, when you got a quarterback like Connor Cook, it's kind of hard to compare the two because Connor Cook is one of the best quarterbacks in the entire nation.
All right. I was just going to ask you, too, since Michigan State got a clear road and everything, I was just thinking about how Dan Antonio, is he going to be able – Michigan State going to be able to afford him?
Antonio has said, this is a destination, not just a stop. He constantly says that. Coach D has high goals and expectations for this team. Again, what is the motto this year? Reach higher. They want to reach higher. They want to win a national championship. They want to compete for a national championship. D'Antonio has said nothing that would allude to him leaving. So I don't know. That's kind of a slippery slope because, again, let's say Coach D does win a national championship. I don't know. Maybe that opens up his mind a little bit and says, okay, what's my next challenge here? Maybe do I go to another program? I don't know. But right now, he's focused on winning a national championship for this team, I think, Mike.
Okay, then. I got one more question, and I'm moving along. Eastern Michigan, do you think a program like Eastern Michigan – I'm not going to say they're going to be able to keep up with Michigan and Michigan State, but, I mean, do the Eastern Michigans of the world be able to do good in basketball and keep up with the state talent that comes out of Michigan every year?
Well, it's a challenge. Yeah, and thanks a lot for the call, Mike.
Thank you.
And I think when talking about the, you know, the Easterns and the Westerns of the world, you know, competing with – you know, the historical powerhouses of college sports in this state, in Michigan and Michigan State, it's hard. It's got to be tough because, you know, Michigan State, you know, has such a lure to it now because they've won. I mean, Tom Izzo every year is competing for Final Fours, you know what I mean, and in national championships. Mark D'Antonio has brought that to the table now with its culture. So as far as those two realms, those two sports, it's a challenge, especially in Michigan. We all know about the tradition that Michigan has when it comes to winning on the gridiron, and now with John Beilein on the basketball court as well. Not too long ago, that's a team that in the program that competed in the national championship against Louisville. So it's hard when trying to go for the creme de la creme of basketball or football talent in this state when those players have the opportunity to go to play for a Coach D, now a Jim Harbaugh, for goodness sake, or a Beilein or Izzo. It's just a tall order. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Do we have anyone who wants these tickets? They are collecting dust right next to me right now. Yeah, hey, cha-ching, right? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Who has the answer to this trivia question? Again, if you get the answer right, you will get to check out the Spartans tonight at the Brez as they take on EMU. Again, the trivia question is, who are the only two Michigan State quarterbacks to have multiple wins versus Ohio State? And I do believe we finally have someone on the air who wants the tickets and has the answer. It's Dave from Holt. Dave, how you doing, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Not bad, thanks. It's Bill Burke and Bobby McAllister.
You nailed it, my friend. Congratulations. Just for kicks, do you know what years? Can you give us the years at all? It's just for kicks.
You know, I'm not sure, and I should know that because I was at the Horseshoe when McAllister beat the Buckeyes.
Okay.
I was at that game, and it was what I recall about it is Ohio State was number one in the country at the time, and they were riding high and pretty cocky, and we came in there and beat them.
Yeah, big game. But, yeah, the years for McAllister were 1987 and 88, and for Bill Burke, 1998 and 1999. But the tickets are yours nonetheless, my friend. Dave, we'll be contacting you after the show. We'll make sure, yeah, cha-ching. We'll make sure to get your contact information, and we'll I'll be in touch with you. I will call you personally after the show, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, folks, the phone lines are still open, 517-355-9527. The tickets are now off the table. Congratulations again to Dave from Holt. But call in if you want to give your thoughts on anything that we chat about here on the show. Right now, I want to get to this feature. I want to get to this this interview montage from the Lansing Football League Player of the Year Award Ceremony, which I attended at the Capital Area Library. Downtown Lansing, D.A. Jones, who is one of the coaches for the Kappa Express U football team, he put on this event to reward the top U football player in the Lansing Football League. Very cool stuff. Six players were nominated. Six players who had unbelievable years. The nominees were DeQuarius Jones for the Lansing Warriors 8 and under team, Latrell Jones for the L.A. Titans 10 and under team, Emilio Hernandez for the Kappa Express 12 and under team, Carion Gordon for the Lansing Warriors 12 and under team, Ricky Bell Jr. for the L.A. Titans, Lansing Area Titans, 14 and under team, and Shamar Howard of the Kappa Express, 14 and under team. Very cool stuff. Their families came out. They sat front row. It was like a mini Heisman Trophy ceremony. And Carion Gordon of the Lansing Warriors, 12 and under team, he pulled out the dub and is your Lansing Football League Player of the Year. I got a chance to chat with Ricardo Rendon, who is the president of the Lansing Football League. Also, D.A. Jones of the Kappa Express and organizer of this fantastic event. And even Carion on the win. First voice you'll hear is Ricardo Rendon, president of the Lansing Football League, and his thoughts on this pretty cool event.
As a board, we started talking about things to improve our league. And D.A. came up with a couple different ideas about rewarding the kids that do, you know, having outstanding seasons and stuff, start to do a little more for the kids overall as a league. We've tried to improve our league, so that was one of the things that we had talked about, is, you know, let's get something out there for the kids. The league had never done an individual award like this. You know, we've had our championship games, and, you know, they get a championship trophy. But that was a team thing. So now DA came up with this idea of, you know, let's bring attention to these kids, you know, not just one kid, but, you know, like we had a group of kids here from different teams, different ages that, you know, had exceptional seasons, and we wanted them to be recognized.
How important is it for these kids who play within your league? How important is it for them to get recognized for what they do on the field and even off of it? I mean, how important is that for our youth today?
I think it's very important because a lot of youth don't get involved in sports, or they don't have the opportunity to. And these kids that do put in a lot of work. So it's nice for them to get recognized by not only their team, but by the league, which is a group of teams. And it's not like this award, you know, was voted on by all the directors from all the different teams. So this was a combined effort. And what we're trying to do is get some unity within the league, you know, showcase our kids. These kids are Lansing's youth. And in our city, there was a lot of people that don't even know about our league. They don't know it exists. And we want that to be known, that, you know, we get these kids ready to go to the next level. You know, that's what we're trying to do and trying to prove, is that our kids can compete at the high school level once they go through our league.
Right.
Unlike other, you know, other outside communities, they have a youth program that feeds right to their high school.
Right.
In Lansing, we don't have that.
Exactly.
You know, we have three high schools, but they don't have that. So we're trying to improve things for our kids in our city.
In some ways, do you feel like the youth in Lansing have been forgotten, in a way?
I do, in a way, because we've tried in the past to reach out to, you know, the city and things like that, and it's been hard for us to get any. The first time that I was involved with trying to reach out to the city, they just said, you know, basically that they couldn't do anything for us. There was no money in their budget. You know, they didn't think it was important at that time. So we have tried to build something that's more community involved for our kids, and the city to notice that, you know, hey, these kids go to Lansing schools, these kids end up going to your high schools. It is important that you do something for them, not just, you know, in particular like our sport, football. The city has gone out and built, you know, numerous soccer fields, numerous soccer, you know, facilities. There's no football facility or football field designated for football in the city of Lansing. And that's one of our goals, is to someday have that for these kids, so that they can have a field that's, you know, comparable to the outlying communities that they do for their kids. So that's our one of our main goals, is to build that for them.
There were three teams presented this year. You know, so the Lansing Warriors had two, Capital Express had two, and the LA Titans had two. And so with that being said, each team head only had one vote. So you can't vote for both of your players.
Exactly.
You can only vote for one.
Right.
And so that's how it went. And so rather than reaching out to the entire league and giving everybody an opportunity to vote and causing all this controversy, each team head, you get one vote.
For the kid who won, Carrion. Unbelievable kid. I mean, I talked to him right after he got the award, and he seemed so bright. I didn't get a chance to see him this year, but I'm told he is an unbelievable player. What made him so special, and what made him the ideal choice to win this award? Because I believe he got 5 of the 8 votes, right?
He did. He got 5 of the 8 votes. You know, I think the thing that makes him the ideal kid to win this vote, number one, he comes from a great family. I mean, he has a good mother and father, you know, and you can see the love and support in his family. You know, and I think that I don't know if you got a close up, but his mom was almost shedding tears up on the stage when he received the award. So I mean, it was great to see that it meant a lot to him. You know, but you know, I know he's a good student. You know, I mean, he has a great attitude. You know, I actually had an opportunity to drive him down to Kalamazoo when he played in the tournament in Kalamazoo. You know, and just he was in the car. You know, just talking to him. He's just a polite kid. You know, and so. I didn't know that he was going to win it. You know, it's ironic that he won it. But when the lights are bright, and you know how people say, man, when the lights are shining the brightest, you know, how do you react? Mm-hmm. You know, and he stepped up in the biggest moments this year, you know. And he was blessed not to have any injuries, you know. And, you know, I think his father, you know, might have mentioned the 99-yard run that he had in Kalamazoo.
Right.
That kind of opened it up for him. He's just, you know, he's one of those athletes, man. When the going got tough, man, he got tougher. So you know, he's a good athlete, you know, and he has some brothers that have played before him in this league. So I think he has a certain mental and physical toughness that he's, you know, garnered through the years from you know, being around his brothers and stuff like that, you know. And so he speaks well. He's a good student of the game. And so I think that, you know, he's very, very well deserving of being the first.
When you're sitting there, front row, you're nominated with 5 other players. Were you nervous at all before DA said your name?
A little bit.
Why?
Because it was just, I guess it was just more people that could have won it and a lot of other good players. So I was a little nervous.
Did you feel like you deserved it?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because I work hard and just try to do my best.
When you look at that trophy, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Just keep working hard.
It motivates you.
Yeah. Just keep working hard and get better and better as I play.
You know, much love to the Lansing Football League. Again, Ricardo Rendon, Carrion Gordon of the Lansing Warriors, who, again, won that award for the Player of the Year for the Lansing Football League, and also D.A. Jones, who is such an innovative mind in trying to help the youth of Lansing and take them off the streets and put a helmet and some pads on them and keep them constructive. Just a really cool event, and it was great to see the families of the respective nominees. And again, congrats to Carrion Gordon, the winner of that award. Again, I'll be putting together a pretty cool feature for WKAR.org. Again, probably later on tonight, check it out. It was a fantastic event, and it's always humbling to sit down and talk with kids who are doing the right thing. You know, doing the right thing and staying out of trouble. And to talk to a guy like DA and Ricardo, who are such staples in the community. So hats off to Lansing Football League. I really enjoyed my time yesterday at that event. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, only 5 minutes left, we will give you our weekend winners. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. All right, folks, it is time to close out our show like we do each and every Monday, where we look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and pick and choose who were our weekend winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, Isaac, I'll go through my list quickly here, seeing as though we are short on time. Again, Carrion Gordon, again, being named the Lansing Football League's Player of the Year for the 12 and under team. Congratulations to Carrion. It was a fantastic time chatting with him. Also, the Golden State Warriors for going, pushing their record to 15-0. How about that? Unbelievable stuff there as they beat the Nuggets yesterday. Michael Geiger, hey, congratulations to you, my friend. He's had an up and down time as a Spartan and has missed some kicks. He even missed a kick on Saturday, but hey, he made it when it counted on Saturday. Congratulations to him. Also, Denzel Valentine, he's been named as the Big Ten Basketball Player of the Week by the conference. And also, PW and Ithaca are two local teams playing in state championship action. Jared Smith, I believe he is the first running back in state history to eclipse the 3,000-yard mark. Unbelievable stuff from him this season as the running back for the PW Pirates. Also, fantastic years for Grand Ledge and Lansing Catholic. And also, we just had a caller who has a weekend winner for us. And, again, we've talked about him on the show before. Quarterback Mason G. Montgomery of Stockbridge, who really broke a lot of state passing records this season, Isaac.
And, wow, these stats are just about as winning of stats as you can have. Mason G. Montgomery was 22 of 22 in a game this year with 3 touchdowns through the air, 5 rushing touchdowns. He had 51 or more touchdowns because a box score wasn't recorded from a game in 9 games, 8 rushing. Sophomore year, he had 41 touchdowns. Yeah, we'll be able to see him next year. He runs a 4.5. Penn and Harvard are looking at him because his GPA is over a 4.0. And on 3 occasions this year, he had games of over 8 touchdowns. That's Uncle Red from Manchester, Michigan. Thanks for the call because, yeah, this is a guy who needs to be in the spotlight as much as he can. What a quarterback. What a player.
Uncle Red. Appreciate that, man. That was fantastic. I mean, you were telling me behind the glass, he was just rattling off just crazy stats about Mason G. Montgomery.
I felt like I was in class. I had to keep up with my note-taking skills. Thank goodness I'm still a student. But my other weekend winner, Al, would have to be, I think, an unsung hero from the Michigan State game, John Reschke. Everybody was so upset before the season about the Ed Davis injury, as they should have been. One of the best linebackers in the Big Ten, but John Reschke was the co-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. He had 6 tackles, a sack, 4 solo. The sack was so important, so crucial. He had big tackles behind the line of scrimmage on Ezekiel Elliott. Without him, the Spartans might not win that game.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because I got an email from John Lewandowski announcing some of the Player of the Weeks for football. And Michael Geiger is on that list as well, the junior kicker from Toledo, Ohio. Again, he's a co-Special Teams Player of the Week along with Griffin Oaks of Indiana. And, so congratulations to all of our weekend winners. Again, and much appreciation for our listeners out there and our callers. Again, folks, we're out of time. We'll see you here, same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.